Welcome to Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. A Buddha is someone who's awake within the matrix and co-creating with divinity as a soul having a human experience. Each enlightened episode is dedicated to help you level up the energy field of your Merkaba. You can manifest the parallel reality that fits the best version of you. This podcast is for entertainment purposes and does not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Now, let's welcome your host, author Vaughn Galt, and her guest.
Welcome to another podcast episode of Merkaba Chakras. I'm your host, Vaughn Galt, and today we talk to frequency teacher Karen Chong about how to tune into a fifth dimensional and above frequency with Source and how to use our frequency for energy healing. So with that, Karen, welcome to Merkaba Chakras.
Thank you, Vaughn. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I love your podcast and I've been going through your stuff. And I, you know, as a researcher of energy healing and metaphysics, I kind of got a little bit bored of the stuff that I was learning in Buddhism in my whole life. I've been doing 40 years of it. And so over time, I would kind of branch off and see what everybody else is doing with the consciousness and the frequency of Source. And I'm delighted to find that there's a lot of different ways to do it as well. And I'm presenting that to the audience. So your work is fascinating in terms of frequency. And we talk about frequency a lot in Buddhism. But before we get into your work, can you please tell us how you even got into this? Because you have a very fascinating story.
Oh, thank you. I didn't intend for this to happen, actually. It's not like I was five and was like, gee, one day I'm going to be frequency. I'm going to work in frequency work. What happened was I was pretty much a normal kid. For the most part, I was raised normally, but I had certain abilities even then. So I could always tell when someone was saying something was going to happen, I always knew what their possibilities were really going to be. Mm-hmm. So meaning they would say, oh, we're going to be doing this and so on. I'd be like, no, that's not going to happen. This will instead. I would just know that. Or I'd be able to see into their lives as if I was looking, like I would get clips of their lives. Like I could see, you know, their homes or whatever, as if, you know, the things they normally did, it didn't mean anything to me because it didn't have any context. But anyway, so I would, you know, talk about it because, you know, I was a kid and I noticed that adults got really uncomfortable with that very quickly. And because I was also sensitive to emotion, that sort of got shut down. So I never really explored that and developed it when I was a child. And then when I was in my 20s, I had my version of like a health crisis. And so for me, what happened was, if you've ever been like had a mosquito bite, like on a knuckle or on the on your ankle or like a back of your knee where it's like really itchy, but I had that basically like everywhere from my underneath my chin all the way to my ankles. And so I was like literally scratching my skin off. My clothes would stick to me when I woke up in the morning and I couldn't sleep very well because I was scratching all the time. And if you've ever been really itchy, you know that emotionally it gets really debilitating after a while. And so I was living in New York City at the time, actually. And I just kept getting worse and worse, even though I was seeking help. So, you know, I was going to see acupuncturists, I was going to see traditional Western medicine people, and it didn't seem to help. And what was happening was I was becoming more and more sleep deprived. So as like weeks and months went on and I was in a lot of pain, and one day I woke up like from a light doze early in the morning, and I remember just saying to nothing, you know, I just can't do this anymore. Like I'm just not strong enough. And so that's, at that point I considered taking my life because I just couldn't do it anymore. And my husband didn't know that I had had this internal plea, and later that morning when he woke up, he like kind of sprung out of bed and was like, okay, that's it. Like I can't take it anymore because basically you're dissolving in front of me. You're not going to last like this. So what we're going to do is you're going to quit your job tomorrow, and we're sending you off to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, which is like, you know, halfway across Canada from where we were. And you're going to go see this acupuncturist that your aunt keeps raving about, who she says can see chi or energy. And I'm like, so I protest, right? Because I'm like, okay, how much can he really know? I've seen other acupuncturists, et cetera. We don't have the money, et cetera. And he was just like, okay, no, no. Then you're going. So then within 5 days, I was off to see this man. And then within 5 weeks, actually, of being treated with just needles and cups, I went from a mess, physical mess, I think, or I wonder if our Zoom's frozen. I went from really just physically struggling. I just want to know, hang on, Vaughn. I'm just checking to see if we're, okay, we're on. So I went from that to somebody who was emotionally like ready to commit suicide, to somebody who was vital and healthy and really different in terms of her outlook and very positive. Right. So, and so that prompted the question, well, what else is there in the unseen that creates what I think is solid and real and not changeable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how is this man able to do what he does? Yeah. So that prompted a 25-year search for something, right? Like, what is there? And so I delved into all kinds of energetic modalities, weird therapies, like all these different kinds of things, in addition to like coaching and personal development, which is more traditional. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we also had like a real estate company in San Francisco at the time. And although we were doing well because I was implementing all these different modalities, right? I was like, well, I've got them. Like, why don't I use them, right? So I'm using all these different energetic modalities, spirit tactics, all this sort of cool stuff, in addition to coaching and personal development. And I realized that when I looked around that despite all of this implementation,
right,
from a business perspective, we had colleagues who didn't seem to work as hard, who weren't caring as much about their clients or whatever, and yet they were exceeding us, right, in their sales volume. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. What's the difference? And then also I would have these like flare-ups of my body. And I was like, this is really weird because I feel like this should be under control by this point, but it wasn't. Right. And that's when I asked the question, like, what am I missing? Is there something better? And that's literally like within a few days, that's when I first heard of frequency work. And so I then, as soon as I started, I was like, okay, this is it. And I was very skeptical. Like, we tried a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And as you know, from being in the spirit community, there's a lot of people who claim they can do a lot of stuff. Okay. And a lot of them can't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or are dark or whatever. So I'm skeptical. Right. So I was listening to this guy and I was just like, okay, you say you can do this, but can you really do this? And when I heard him speak, I was like, yeah, this guy's legit. And so then I started doing frequency work myself very intensively for 2 years.
Who is the guy that you were studying with?
Mas Sajani was the guy that I worked with originally.
Mas Sajani, is he still offering courses and teachings?
Yeah.
Or is he retired? He is. Okay.
He is. I also was working with a woman by the name of Teresa, who no longer is doing it. So I'm not going to mention her last name, but she was doing it also at the time. There's only a very, very tiny number of people who do this work because it's not about a modality. It's about a frequency level. So anyway, so for 2 years, I did frequency work extremely intensively because for me, intuitively, it felt like this was what I was looking for.
Right.
And so I had been struggling so much with like scarcity patterns. I was just like, I just want to be free of this. Okay. I just want to be free of feeling like I don't have enough. And so, like I said, 2 years of intensively doing this, it all it started rapidly changing, actually. It was really cool. So my scarcity stuff started to resolve. My sense of completeness, wholeness changed. And then all of a sudden it culminated in a tiny studio in Sedona where I happened to be for an unrelated seminar where I entered into a 9-hour meditation. And that's when I pierced the veil of forgetting.
Okay. So quick questions.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. So real quick questions. First, when you were young, and I found this very common because I have one-on-one consultations with parents who have children with sixth senses.
Yeah.
But those are the brave parents. Many parents like yours were scared, or adults that you told it to were scared. What are they scared of? What is scary about a child with sixth senses?
Because it's the unknown, and you start to rattle what they perceive to be the reality and the construct of their reality. So when you start to shake that, my senses, for most people who aren't ready for it, they don't want to hear it. Because then it's like, well, this is how I carefully construct my reality. And what you're suggesting is not within that. But yet, so what else isn't real, right? Because it all, it's like this house of cards. So if you pull out one of the blocks from the house of cards, right, the whole thing crumbles. And most people, if they're not ready for it, don't want to do that. It's too scary for them. So I think with parents, especially, I mean, this was the 70s, right? So,
right. And it still happens now. It still happens now. Yeah.
True. Yeah. So I think that's what parents are scared of. It's not really of the child. It's like about their attachment to how they believe the reality is constructed. And now the child is challenging that. And it scares them.
Okay, so let's say their paradigm of how reality is constructed and it's fluid and changeable based on consciousness or the frequency of the person.
Yep.
And let's say they embrace that. What are they scared could happen? What could, you know, is it just the unknown? Is it just the unknown that's scary?
Well,
or do they,
so I just want to make sure
do they fear, do they fear like a negative reality might come forward if they work with this on their child?
Yeah, I think that for most people, it's just, it's not even just a negative reality. It's just like, what is real? I mean, who am I? Like those really basic questions, which are really fundamental to creating what we call their ego sense of identity. And if you shake that, people get really, really upset. If you have parents who are more fluid in their consciousness, as you were mentioned, and like a higher frequency, because I definitely work with some of those parents who have kids who I call new consciousness kids, they encourage their kids, not in a way where it's like ego, like so where they're like, oh, you're so special, you know,
right,
but it's more like, oh, okay, that's great that you're having that experience. What's that like for you? And the other thing too is like, it's hard to tell, okay, with kids, because depending on the parent, because sometimes what the kid can be exposed to can be dark, right? So you can't necessarily tell as a parent, right? It could be something dark. And so that could be scary to them too, because they feel like, oh, something is wrong, right? So there's we can't discount that. Mm-hmm. That is a possibility, right, that they may be responding to. And then you have the kids who are just challenging things because they're of a higher order of resonance, and they're challenging the way that reality is created. So you kind of have like both things in play. It kind of depends on what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I have to show you something. You just put something up. Let me pause it really quick. I'm going to bring an image of two drawings that my daughter and my niece drew before the pandemic. And they said, this is what everybody's going to come across. It's a friends. Okay, so I just wanted to show you this, and I wanted to show the audience this because since we were talking about you coming into this work, and when you were a child, adults and parents, that people that you were talking to were kind of a little bit scared of your ability. And, you know, I have clients who have children who have some budding sixth senses, and my daughter has as well. And she just naturally just picks up what is going to happen. So she started drawing this this cartoon last spring, before the pandemic started to really get cold, with her niece or with her cousin. And she was, my daughter's six and her cousin's like seven. And they drew these two characters before spring started. We all know what this looked like. And I asked them like, what is it? They're like, they're the bugs. What's the bugs? They're the bugs that everybody's going to come across. I'm like, oh, it must be a spring bug. It must be a spring bug. So, you know, on plants. What's this bug? And I asked them, why do they have those sticks that come out of their heads? Because that's how they feel things, to find other friends to connect to that are of their frequency. That's the coronavirus. And those little feelers are the sticks that come out, and they just, they feel for people who have the frequency in their body that they can connect to. And if you are of a higher frequency, they can connect to that energy field. So that's according to my six-year-old, my seven-year-old. And I thought it was hilarious that they were drawing the bugs that was going to fly around in the air before spring of last year.
Last year.
Yeah,
that's
last
awesome.
Year, before the pandemic really started to hit most of the world. So anyways, for, you know, in relation to your story for how you got into this work, when you're not scared of the unknown and you just entertain it, be like, okay, let's see what this looks like. Oh, that's interesting. File it away. It may unravel and answer itself.
So when you
were doing this, so you did this, you were working with all these teachers learning frequency work, and then you were applying it into your business. What started to change? You said things were starting to change when you started applying these principles into your life.
So I didn't really, what I was applying was before I found frequency work, actually, because that was more outward. So I was doing a whole bunch of personal development stuff. There are a whole bunch of different energetic modalities. Like one of them is taught by Dr. Donnie Epstein, who does his own form of chiropractic. And he has a whole paradigm under which things work. And I'm very curious about how people see the world, you know, different paradigms of how the world works. So it's like a way of understanding people, understanding clients, how relationships interact. So that's what we were primarily using. And then when frequency work happened, that's more of an internal thing, at least. That's typically how it works. So for me at that point, it was really about, I had a lot of fear with regards to loss. Okay. So I was very attached to things, especially money, and because I felt like I wasn't gonna be okay. So a lot of the clearing that I did was around that, so that I could gain. And actually what's really cool about frequency work is that you internally become really strong. So you realize you actually don't need anything external to you. You don't need to externally reference to be internally complete and whole. And so you release what I call distortion patterns that cause you to feel like you need something internal, okay? Because the way I see the world, our thoughts and emotions are reflections of distortion patterns, which occur at frequency level. And all the stuff that we have based on the external reality that we feel like we need to reference no longer becomes relevant. So as a result, you gain a sense of wholeness, completeness. You don't need people or circumstances or things in the same way because you're internally complete. And that gives you the sense of neutrality, which doesn't mean non-emotional. It simply means not attached to outcomes or a particular way in which the world should unfold in order for you to be happy. So that is what started to happen. And as you release distortion patterns, or at least as I release distortion patterns, my frequency resonance rose and rose. And that's what happened when I actually was in that meditation that I mentioned that was 9 hours long. Because of that, that's when I was able to pierce, had the enough of a frequent, like momentum on frequency level to raise my frequency resonance enough to get to the point where I could pierce the veil of forgetting and merge back into source. Basically.
Okay. So question about that. What can you explain the point where you recognize that you pierced the veil of forgetting? Can you explain that further for people?
So from my perspective, the veil of forgetting is something that we agree to as we devolve from a certain level of consciousness down into embodiment, because the embodiment is, of course, lower in vibration and it's denser. So you have to actually drop in vibration to have embodiment, which is actually a gift because you're allowed to transcend a lot in this form and to overcome all these challenges, which basically gives you a lot of momentum on spirit level. So the veil of forgetting is something that we all agree to as we come down into this embodiment. And that veil of forgetting is the veil of forgetting of that you are infinite, indestructible consciousness, that you are intrinsically part of the oneness, and then the oneness intrinsically part of you. That's a really huge forgetting. So, and that you're sovereign. That's another part of that. But so for me, what happened was I could feel my frequency resonance rising. So I don't know how I know this, but it wasn't like I was thinking. I just knew. I was like, okay, there's the layer of love. There's the layer of awareness, consciousness. And then I kind of kept hitting something and I couldn't get through it. I was like, literally like I was bumping my head against a glass ceiling. I was just like, I can't, that's weird. I can't go any further. And I was like, And then I realized at that point that I had to surrender. It really wasn't about will. It was about surrender at that point to pure source. And once I really surrendered, so just full on to pure source, like really, it was very scary, actually. And
what did you surrender? Was it ego? Was it your identity?
It was, yeah, I guess it was everything. It was like who I thought I was. So essentially, I was just like, okay, well, if I don't come back me, if I don't remember me, am I willing to release that? And so ultimately, after some crying, because it was scary for me. Okay, so I was just like,
It was scary yeah. at first when you're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I going to be myself? I'm not going to
be myself. Right?
What about love? What about love? You know, you have all these last minute questions before you jump off the bridge. You're like, ooh, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's these really scary questions about like, who am I? And what about my relationships and people I love and all that, right? So all that stuff had to be released. So I did in that moment. And as soon as it was fascinating, and I was crying the whole time because I was scared. And it's very, we're human, we're attached. Yeah, we're attached to these things, right? So I was crying. And so, but at the end of that, something shifted where I finally let go. I was just like, and I can't explain to you exactly what that felt like, but it was just this release of like, okay, like really, like I give all of it. It's okay. And when it's like, if I'm going to go insane, I lose my mind, I lose my identity, I'm okay with it. That's fine. And so as soon as that happened, it felt like this upward buoying. Okay. So it's like, boom, like it was a really big push up. And then as I moved into that space, let's call it that loosely, this is going to sound strange possibly, but it's like, I just felt everything with me was me, but it wasn't an I. Like there was no, it sounds hard to explain exactly, but it was just, I could just feel everything being part of me and I being part of everything. And there was no separation. Yeah. And there was this really cool feeling of just expansiveness, but in a different way than I experienced it before, and wholeness and integration, I guess is the way I would explain it. Mm-hmm. And then also, when I first felt it, I started laughing like out loud. So I'm by myself in this tiny apartment on this couch, and I'm just laughing and laughing because I couldn't believe that I'd forgotten. Like, it was just like, how do you forget your hand? I mean, like, how do you forget your hand or your breath or whatever? I was just like, holy crap, how could I have forgotten? This is hilarious. And then I started crying. Like I laughed for like 20 minutes out loud to nobody, and then I started crying. Like if you'd been a fly on the wall, you would have been like, okay, this human is crazy. And then I started crying because there was so much grief because of like, we forgot. And then I don't know how much longer, so that stopped, so the emotion stopped. And then I was just in this space for, I don't know, a very long period of time that I don't really know. And then when I eventually sort of came back to more presence of my surroundings and room, and I was still in my body, but I just more conscious of it. It changed. So meaning I was like, I could
did
see
the room
illusion.
Change or, oh, like what did you,
oh, say? I changed.
You changed, but the room didn't change or.
Well, the room was sort of like much less relevant, and it really felt like I could put my hand through the room. I was just like, oh, this is just a skin. If I just do this, it'll go away. Like I can just do this and it'll go away. And then I was in Sedona. So I was hiking, you know, I would see these beautiful vistas and I'm like, oh, it's just like a screen. Like I can just do this and it will be, what's behind it is the void actually.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the void. Oh, huh. Who knew?
I know what you're saying. I'll give you my experience, which is very, very similar. Okay. I know exactly what you're saying. So, I knew this in terms of consciousness, frequency, and Buddhism my whole life. It's a concept, but until you experience it, then it's like, oh, now you've been bitten by love. Now you're in love. Before you were just kind of hoping and looking and wishing and all that kind of good stuff. But anyways, I was walking through the parking lot to my car from work, and I was just having these existential questions like, oh, da, da, da. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it all go. And then I had the freak out moment, just like you were talking about, where I'm like, wait a minute. If I really surrender my Vaughnness, my identity, who is everybody going to get? What about love? Who is in love with my boyfriend at the time and now my husband? You know, all these, that you have all these last minute questions before I jump the bridge. And then I just kind of had a feeling, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I've lived thousands and thousands and many, many lifetimes, quite infinitely. And so what's another experience, just letting it all go, just pack that into the experience. So I decided to let it go. I walked through the hypothetical doorway, and you were kind of scared. It was a little bit painful for like a mini infinite second. So I was like, woo! And I did it. And then afterwards I was like, oh, now all of a sudden, instead of looking at reality as Vaughn, I was looking at reality as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's what infinity or source or consciousness is. It's just an observer of all the fractal expressions from different vantage points. But now I was looking at it as an observer. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. Kind of like when we're looking at under a microscope and we're observing, we're not like really in the game, but we're watching the game play out. We're watching the ants move around and do the thing. We're like, oh, that's interesting. But we're still in there, but it's not affecting us so drastically. So there could be somebody over there at the parking lot having an argument over a parking spot and this and that and whatever. And it's not affecting me so heavily because I'm an observer. That's what I noticed. And then over a period of a little bit of time, reality, and I had to work myself to get out of that consciousness, reality was fluid in terms of I could look at, I would be in the bathroom looking at the towel rack, and the towel rack would kind of hover in a frequency in the shape of a towel rack with the towel on the rack, but the towel on the rack would kind of do this a little bit. I could see the energy of the towel in the shape of a towel. And then I was like, it was almost matrixy. And so then I was like, you have to like close your eyes and wake yourself out of it. But literally I saw the matrix.
Quote.
So everything, it wasn't just any more of a concept that everything is just vibrating at different frequencies to create the structure and the form in which our avatars engage with the simulation or the game or the sojourn or whatever you want to call it. It wasn't just a concept anymore, but now I actually experienced and saw that everything is vibrating at a different frequency to create that form that I'm engaging with, as well are people that are different frequencies. So I completely understand where that is coming from. And for those people who are going through this, going, oh, this is some weird like sci-fi stuff you guys are talking about. I haven't experienced it. Or for people who are experiencing and they do that, you can start seeing this. But it does subside, doesn't it? For you, is it still ongoing, or did this finally subside in terms of the illusionary nature of reality?
Yeah, so it's changed, right? Because
how does it change?
So as all of us, right? All of our consciousness is rising at such a rapid rate right now. And
why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? Because it's what happens. It's just what's happening right now. So every period of time, 52,000 years or so, there's like at this level of consciousness is a wave of consciousness that goes through, or purity waves of consciousness that go through, which buoy not just humans but everything in the consciousness field. So it's not just humans. You're given the opportunity to move up in consciousness realm. You don't have to go. There are a lot of people who don't who choose not to. That's fine. It's not about a better than. It's not about better than or worse than. It's just about choice.
Sorry. Right. So what happens to because we're getting into really interesting conversation about frequency and people. You know, because you said earlier that the frequency happens within you, and I completely agree. And that's been established in Buddhism, that frequency and consciousness happens within you. And from within that, you affect the physical world around you. Mm-hmm. But what happens to the people who don't want to raise their frequency because it's too much for them for whatever reason? What have you experienced with them?
What happens is that the gap is polarization.
Okay.
Actually.
What does that mean?
We are seeing
that for people.
And so we're seeing that right now on the planet in everything, right? From politics to what's happening with the pandemic to people's responses to the pandemic, like all this stuff is increasing polarization that's happening on the planet. That polarization is happening because of the split in the consciousness level. So one consciousness level is becoming available to us for those of us who are moving, who choose to move in that direction. Again, it's not a better than, it's simply a choice. So those who want to move up in their frequency resonance have the ability to move into higher level frequency bandwidths that are spectrums that are becoming available to us and that we can integrate as embodied beings. Those who don't want to will stay at the lower level order. So it's like you'll see almost like two lenses of through which you can view the world, right? So let's just imagine the physical reality is fixed. Mm-hmm. It's not really, but right? So it's like two different lenses through which you can view something. One lens is clearer than the other, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's clearer of the filters, it's higher in resonance. And then, of course, each being is different in the sense of their own frequency resonance. So what they see depends on their frequency resonance as they peer through the lens into the reality. So that's what I mean by that. The experience is going to be really different for different people depending on what resonance they're at, and then also what lens they happen to be looking through. So, and the lens to me is a metaphor for the consciousness level that they're at.
Right, right. And this is a really hot topic in a lot of spiritual circles in terms of some people call it the purification or the split or the, you know, whatever. So are you talking in terms of, let's say you have people at different frequency levels in a parking lot, for example, mm-hmm. and you have somebody who is, you know, already gone to infinite consciousness, tapped into that. But let's say for simplistic terms, let's say they're fifth dimensional consciousness and they're seeing reality at a higher, clearer lens. Mm-hmm. And you have a couple of those people walking in the parking lot. And then you have a bunch of people who are walking in the lower third dimensional frequency mm-hmm. and seeing reality in that way. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing a little bit of a horror picture show going on because that they're still mm-hmm. working on some of the internal struggles that create the manifestations. So they're getting mm-hmm. more of what they are. So are you saying it's all happening at the same space?
Yeah, so right now it's a different experience. Right now the spaces are overlapping.
Oh, they are overlapping. So, yeah. Okay.
So to some degree, the perception of the space is different though, because the person at the higher like they may not even see each other, actually. It may That's be true. That the third dimensional person doesn't see the fifth dimension, the person resonating in the fifth dimension. That happens,
I have to watch out for cars because they don't see me. Dodge cars all the time.
Yeah, so you have to, like, sometimes that happens, or they won't. That definitely can happen. Their experience of the parking lot will be different, actually.
Really?
So meaning the person who has, for example, like they'll easily, this is an example, right? So it feels good to them. They get into their car. There's no fuss. They just drive off. You know, it's like easy for them. Whereas mm-hmm. the person who is of a lower resonance might be stressed out, not be able to find their car, get like harangued by, you know, somebody else that's there, for example, as they try to back their car out or whatever. Okay, so it's mm-hmm. just a different experience of the same thing. It's just that it's from a very different resonance. So it's not the same experience. Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like the concept of you're going to get what you are. So if you see struggle and your intention is struggle, your intention is paranoia, your intention is everybody's out for you, you're going to get more of that manifestation and in these challenges in the parking lot. Whereas if you are of higher frequency in your consciousness, things flow easier. You expect things to flow easier. If they don't, you work around them easier and things just kind of flow in effortless. The parking ticket is easily paid. There's no traffic. You can go where you need to go. It's just a nice, smooth adventure. You know, that's a lot of people call that fifth dimensional frequency of awareness or higher. It's just the universe moves much more smoothly for these people.
Yeah, because really your reality is a rendering, right? So it's not real, it's an illusion. So you are rendering a reality. So from the way that I see the world, okay, and it might be different depending on how you see the world. But so I'm going to explain two different frameworks in case it's helpful for the listeners.
Yes.
Okay. So from my perspective, you have pure source, right? Vibrating or source, whatever you want to call it. Vibrating, it's a very high rate. And as you've just been discussing, right? In order for embodiment to happen, there needs to be a drop in vibrational level. So even for source to be aware of itself means that there's a drop in vibrational level. So as we come into embodiment, okay, so what it looks like to me or what has been shown to me is that it's like these spheres of pure source energy that come out of the field of pure source okay, they're individuated. Their vibrational level is what individuates them, okay? It's what makes you, and me. When that sphere drops into embodiment, what looks like layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of duct tape form around the sphere, okay? Now, the sphere is still intact and beautiful and vibrating because it's pure source energy, still vibrating at its unique rate, but it's now got all this crud around it. So the layers and layers of duct tape are metaphors for things like your distortion patterns caused by things like your lineage or your ancestors, whether or not you remember them, right? Even like 40, 50 generations ago, what they experienced very much affects you and mm-hmm. the number of frequency distortions that you get to experience. Then you also have cultural distortion patterns, religious distortion patterns, even if you weren't practicing anything in particular, your lineage or your ancestors certainly have. And so they are impacted by that and that influences you. Right. And then, of course, you have past lives. So all of these things create these layers of duct tape. And those layers of duct tape are very heavy, and they cause the sphere to not be aware of source infinitely or in all directions around it. Okay, and mm-hmm. it also causes the sphere to slow down in vibrational level. Right. So to your point, as you raise your vibrational level, what happens is you start to release more and more of these layers of duct tape. And it's self-perpetuating because your spirit body self wants it to be off, right? Like that, it doesn't like the heaviness of these distortion right. patterns. So as you release more and more of these distortion patterns, then your frequency resonance buoys up. And that's why you experience what you just talked about, because right. you don't have the same distortion, which is causing that experience to render in your reality. The distortion patterns happen at the frequency level first, then your physical reality mirrors that. So from my perspective, you have individuated consciousness at this very high rate, right? Okay, you have pure source or source, whatever you want to call it, an individuation of consciousness because source mm-hmm. wants to experience life in a different way. So it wants to express in an individuated form. So here comes individuated consciousness. This is not human at all, okay? It's very highly resonant. And that's the thing that decides, oh, I'd like to have the experience of embodiment, and then sends an aspect of its consciousness down into form. It must create something that can create density in linear space-time, okay? Mm-hmm. It has to in order to create, like, what we consider solid, right?
Right.
So something called, what I perceive is a sphere around mm-hmm. our physical bodies that render, like a hologram, the physicalness that's you in the center of it. So here's the sphere, here's you in the center. Your brain is actually the projector of the reality, from my perspective anyway. So you are simply a rendering what you perceive. And as you clear the distortion patterns, like in the physical body, in the space between the rendering and the sphere, as I said, your experience of the reality changes because you clarify, your resonance goes up, and what you create manifests is really different. And you don't even have to intend it. It just is. Your physical mm-hmm. reality is a reflection of the clarity that you are, or the distortion that you are. It really kind of depends which one you are. So yeah, that would be my way of seeing what you just explained.
You know what you just explained? You just explained. I gotta pull my latest book out of my Buddhist mandala series. You just explained the Buddhist mandala. This is the sphere that you are. This is what people are, is energy. It is a sphere. And reality is created as a sphere. And they have shown it in science that our voice is a sphere. Mm-hmm. It's a three-dimensional sphere that has energy moving inside it and so forth. But when you look at it from the top view, it looks like a mandala, like a Buddhist mandala. And there's also a little sphere, a halo around your head. However, mm-hmm. in Buddhism, the point of the center of the sphere is always the heart. And that's where the highest resonance comes from. Mm. So the brain does create a small field, but the heart field is the highest.
Oh, for sure.
It encompasses the brain field.
Yeah, the heart field is way faster than the brain, for sure. Absolutely.
But the frequency in which somebody, an energy being, which we all are, the frequency in which an energy being resonates at and levels up through, that is what is affecting all of reality. So the higher somebody's frequency, the more impact they have on reality. And it's also said that they impact their whole lineage because they're all connected. So is that what you see as well? That like, if somebody decides to go into the higher frequencies of consciousness, that they not only heal their wounds, but they heal ancestral. Do you see that?
Yeah, it depends on So in the work that I do, it can happen. It depends on a couple of things. So one is some beings are what I call kingpins. Okay, and so kingpins are beings that come in who are of a higher consciousness level, and they're aware of who they are and their abilities before they come into embodiment. And they agree to help clear the line. Okay, so I have met a number of them, but anyway, there's a certain number of beings that are like this. So they take on that agreement for the lineage. There are others who, and as they clear, the lineage clears. So for them, the clearing can be more intense, just in terms of their journey, their physical journey. For others, when you get to a certain tipping point, so as you clear your own distortion patterns, yes, especially when you get to a certain level of resonance, what your ripple effect through the lineage is huge, because you start to clear the lineage of those distortion patterns. You also start to change what is possible for your future line as well. Mm-hmm. Especially when kids are like 5 years or less, you have like a more direct effect on them because they don't have as much established distortion around them. However, as you start to clear
real
up
quick, in terms of, define distortion. Is because you say distortion. Is distortion define what you mean in distortion.
Yeah, so a distortion to me on frequency level is anything that keeps you separate from the one. And so it's not necessarily negative. A lot of us consider distortion to be negative. A lot of it is negative. But even your embodiment is a distortion. It keeps you from the being merged with the oneness. It's not bad. I'm not saying the body's bad at all. It's great. However, it is something that keeps you from being fully merged into the one. So a lot of people will take the word distortion as purely negative. It can often be that way, but it doesn't necessarily, to me, mean that. It's simply like a filter through which you view your reality, essentially. That's how I would define a distortion.
Okay. So, like, would distortions be, like, your perceptions about other people, your perceptions about reality, your beliefs about your own limitations, you know, all these different labels that we box ourselves in? Would that qualify as distortions that hold down people's frequency?
Yeah. So anything like that. And like even like the distortion of like the separateness from the oneness is a distortion, right? Like the fact that we have the veil of forgetting, that is a distortion. And all this, like our thoughts and emotions we think create the reality. To me, they're not. They're a reflection and a result of distortion patterns that are at the frequency level. So if you can release the distortion pattern of low self-worth, if you can release the distortion pattern of, I don't know, whatever, self-doubt, then at the frequency level, the person's experience is very different because their thoughts and habituated emotions are very different.
Right.
So, and that's what's happening. So that's, to answer your question, all of those things are in, so to me, when I perceive the world, it's as frequency. So it's, so it's like I see not just what the person's presenting, but the, we're all this like bundle or this sphere of frequencies. Right. And as you clarify, you can like release a lot of these things that are denser and lower resonating in order so that you can buoy up. So that's the really cool thing. So, yes, as you release distortions, things clarify. Your thoughts clarify, emotions clarify, everything changes.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I read a lot of scientific journals and medical journals, and I put a lot of the science in my my Buddhism books as well.
That's cool.
Just for the analytical minded, along with the Buddhist material. But let me ask you this. So people who are of higher frequency, because I have conversations with people in these areas, and some people get so caught up in it and say, you got to go into the 5D and higher, you got to have a higher frequency, all that kind of stuff, the things they were talking about. And then they're like, no, I want to deal and clean up the 3D issues. So what do you say to people who are like, they want to stay in the 3D because they think that is what is best, not going to the higher dimensions, but stay in the 3D. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, that's your choice, of course. It's slower. I mean, it's slower and it's much, much harder because you're trying to address the problem at the frequency level at which it exists. In order to transcend, you need to come from a higher level of energy. If not, you're just going to spin in the same thing over and over
Einstein said that, you know, he said something to the effect of, in order to solve the problem, you have to be from a higher level of consciousness or something to that effect.
Yeah. So exactly. So you need to have, in order to break a pattern, you have to introduce an energy that's a higher frequency in order to have the pattern shift. So my perspective would be like, that's fine. You can absolutely do that. And the challenge with personal development or coaching or all these 3D things is it's very hard and it doesn't stay for very long because the frequency governs form. Frequencies, right? So you have pure source. You have the slow, your frequencies that are created. I mean, they just are. Mm-hmm. Right. And as you, as I said, you drop in, and as you've mentioned, you drop in vibrational level. As the vibrational level drops, right, the energy vibration slowing down, it becomes energy. And as that slows down even more, that becomes physical matter or form. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter as much what you do on the physical level, because if you don't change the frequency first, that's what governs form. This, the physical, is a reflection of the frequency. So yes, you can change this on the physical, sure. It's just going to take a lot of work. And what's going to happen is it's going to ping back to the way it was because you haven't addressed it at the frequency level. Yeah. This is what governs the physical. Yep. So it's kind of like it will either be a lot of effort, short-lived, or it won't feel the way you wanted it to. Okay, so like you'll get there and it'll kind of feel empty. So that's the thing, is you're not addressing the frequency issue, right? The distortion at the frequency level.
So let me give you some, let me give you some real world examples to like, how would you address this in a real world example? So let's take police brutality, for example, okay? In America, like Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff. So let's take police brutality as an example. And it's been going on, and you think this is the worst case, and then a new one crops up. And then, you know, we do all this vigilance and this protesting and, you know, support, And then another one happens, and then another one happens. And so it's like we keep coming back trying to resolve an issue that continues to, with the same consciousness that develop it, trying to solve it. Because everybody understands, okay, you know, not all cops are bad. There's some bad ones that's making the pile look bad, and the system may not be working to address the problem. And, you know, there's a systematic issue. And, you know, the conversation goes on and on for how the problem arises and continues to persist. So how does, because we talked about this earlier when you said about the split or bifurcation of right now, a lot of the higher dimensional consciousness people are in the same mix of the lower consciousness people. And so there's some overlap. So you have some polarization of 3D issues. So with the police brutality, you have one side thinking one thing, and then you have another side thinking another thing, and they just keep doing this over and over, this little cat and mouse chase, and never going above that. So how does, let's look at infinity symbol. So how does the solution of a higher consciousness spring through the middle?
Sure. So what I would say is, again, your physical reality is an illusion that you are rendering. So the reason you are rendering that is because you are running frequencies of oppression and control. We all do. We're human. Okay. So in the lower consciousness realm, we all have these of oppression, control, dominance, abuse. It's running through us. So when we do the work internally to see where we are in terms of our own frequency distortions, and then releasing those distortion patterns, right? This is the work that I do basically, is to release the distortion pattern of oppression within self, abuse, dominance, all that stuff. You are releasing that, and what that allows in the field, okay, is you release these distortion patterns. That catalyzes your frequency resonance up. It allows someone else the possibility to entrain to you and then start the process potentially of, like, depending on the resonance of the person who's released it, either to start the release themselves or start to wonder, gee, is there something better? Is there a better way than what I'm doing? Perhaps there's something for me. And their own path is their own path, right? Whatever they're going to find to help them do that is just their own gig. So that's great. But it's, do you understand? So it looks like we're not doing anything. But one of the most powerful things you can do is take accountability for the reality that you are creating, look for the distortion patterns within, and then delete the distortion patterns within yourself. Because that ripples out into the oneness, essentially, right? Through you, your family, community, humanity, oneness. The higher your resonance, the more you impact. That's just, it's not one-to-one anymore. We always think in the physical way, like, if I talk to you, you might shift. So if I make you, like, believe what I believe, then therefore we have a shift. that's not really the way it works, as you know, from consciousness. It's not very efficient, actually. So what happens, really, is that your frequency resonance buoys up as you clear more of these distortions, and we start to shift because we are creating a possibility that is new in the field where those lower level distortions no longer in play. And as
they fall apart, they fall aside.
Yeah, exactly. So as you raise up in consciousness level, that doesn't exist, because at that consciousness level, it's not possible for those lower level distortion patterns to exist. That's why you have to release them in order to access more of those higher level consciousness fields that we're talking about.
Okay. So let me ask you this about that about this topic of frequency and how our high frequencies affect the quote, quote matrix. And the people around, because they've proven this over and over again in meditation research, that the higher the energy fields of the consciousness of the person, the higher their frequency, and the highest frequency that they've measured in meditation and brain research is gamma brain waves, which is a much more crisp form of reality. And they've proven this over and over again, thousands of times, that it affects the physical reality by making somehow the subtle energy, all the people in that area, more peaceful, less violent, much more serene. And it is the high energy of these fifth dimensional or higher frequency people in these higher states of consciousness, whereby their frequency is literally changing the physical reality. And everybody else who are lower dimensional frequency is unconsciously reorganizing themselves in a way that benefits the whole by being less violent. So that's just an example in meditation, the meditation research, and people can look that up as an example of how your consciousness and your frequency affects physical reality. Here's the question with that. Lower frequency people will see high frequency people as you just checked out from helping clean things up.
Oh, I don't necessarily know that that's true, because, it depends.
That's the criticism. Well, you guys are just checking out. You're in your la-la land. You're not helping clean up. You're not participating in the this and that. You're not participating in what we're doing to clean this up. You go off in la-la land, creating your organic garden or your geophysic dome community or whatever. You guys are out there, you know, meditating and doing your Zen, whatever you want, you guys do. You're not in the real world. But yet, research has shown over and over again that these people are creating the real world without being of the problem. So how do you address that common thing that comes up from low frequency people going, you just checked out, you're not helping solve the problem?
Well, what I would say is that they're welcome to have the opinion that they have, and that their judgment is not really necessarily a reflection of how I see the world. So, and that's great that they have that opinion, and that I am aware of my connection to pure source, and that when I foster that and cultivate that, that the ripple effect of that in terms of my resonance into the oneness and through the all that is massive. So I know that, and I also believe in action as well, right? So I don't feel like it has to be like one or the other, like you're sitting on your cushion meditating in a cave, or you're like out on the streets rallying people. I mean, like, it's not like it has to be these two separate things that are never overlapping. You know, for people who are, we are in the world. We are embodied for a reason. And so whatever you're called to do in the expression that is unique to you, that keeps your frequency buoyant and which can help the whole, however that is, whether you're interacting with someone at a grocery store or whether you're, I don't know, whatever you're doing, helping someone across the street or whatever, it doesn't even have to be helping, just like standing there, being the resonance that you are, that is enough. Now, whether someone judges you for that, well, that's their own judgment. they want. And of course, there's no must, right, in terms of like how it is that you help the world and that you have to even help the world. My thing is, the more you are aware of your consciousness and your that you are this amazing aspect of the divine, and that you have the sovereignty to co-create your reality, you can create whatever expression of beauty and authenticity that you want and whatever resonance that you want. That is what is important. Whatever anyone else says about you, well, that's their experience. Right? I'm not saying being mindful or mean or cruel or not thoughtful. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that that is someone else's experience of what you are having, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's a reaction. It's the reality of what it is that you're creating in the world. That's my response to that.
Yeah, so that's a really good response. That's really good, because that comes out of a lot of these high vibe people are in the clouds. You know, they're checked out of reality. They're not helping us clean up the 3D issues. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. So I understand. I understand. And there's some movements that I have drawn to, and I do support in different ways. I don't have to be there in your face. To do it, but there are different ways in which you can contribute. And if you do support one thing a little bit and you resonate with it, then yeah, there's different ways to support that. But not everybody that has to get so deep into whatever, because there's so many things going on. You can't split yourself into everything.
Yeah.
So, and this is still your time. This is still your life. So.
Yeah.
You can live it the way you want.
Yeah. And I also feel like the more of us like clear up all of our distortion patterns, the higher in resonance we all become. That means that the consciousness tips up. Everyone becomes more buoyant. All this lower level crap, distortion patterns that cause the problems from pollution to like child enslavement don't exist. Right. So I mean, I'm not the FBI agent who's going out there to bust the sex slave people. Okay, that's not like what I do.
Yeah, you don't deal with human trafficking in the mafia level.
Like that's not what I'm doing. However,
that's not your journey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my journey, but my journey is to help in this way, right? And so that's okay. And so my feeling is, as more and more of us buoy up, truly, and the thing is, what I'll say about, you know, the people, there's a lot of spiritual bypassing, right, that happens in the spiritual community, right, where it's like a pseudo-awakened state where everything's all good and they're not like wanting to deal with like the heavy, dense emotional stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to stay accountable, right? You are human. Mm-hmm. You're having this experience to be accountable for your own stuff, like what you're creating in the world that might be messy. It's like, oh, great. I just did that. And it's not to like beat yourself up and to self-flagellate and punish yourself, but it's like, okay, I did that. There's a distortion pattern here. Let me address that. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's to be accountable, as opposed to like going into like a lot of people will go into what I call spiritual bypassing, where it's just like, okay, well, I'm not going to deal with those negative emotions. We're just going to go into like this like pseudo bliss state because I don't feel like dealing really with my messiness. Yeah. The humanness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're very unstable actually. So it's important to be accountable, to see yourself, to examine, you know, to do the work and then clarify. Right. And again, it's not about self-punishment. It's about awareness.
Right. Yeah. So like you say, let's say somebody who's high frequency are accountable for themselves and what they say, what they do, how they create their reality.
Yeah.
But because I've heard people describe this batch of high vibe people as spiritual bypass. Well, you're spiritual bypassing the responsibility to clean up 3D issues. I mean, it goes around in circles. So I guess it's just a matter of just, okay, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, just accept it. Exactly. Yeah, that's just your opinion.
That's just your opinion. All right. Four Noble Truth number one always hits the ringer. Acceptance is the cause of your suffering. It always goes back to that one for me. Okay, so we've been talking about Earth. Okay, Earth has her own frequency as well. And she has the biggest frequency. She's the biggest magnet. So how do people calibrate with the frequency of Earth's higher energy?
That's a great question. So the Earth, from my perspective, holds multiple consciousness. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And so the Earth frequency is very, very clear. So if you can be really present in the body and even be aware of the Earth, so stand on it, right, or just be in it, that frequency of the Earth somewhere natural, that will start to help propel you into, because the Earth frequency is so strong and is so in the present moment, there is nothing else that exists for the Earth, like on spirit level, as you know, Vaughn, right? Like everything exists in the eternal now. There is no future past, right? That's all like a human interpretation in order for our minds to function. However,
when you go into the consciousness of source 5D and above, everything exists now because there is no linearity.
That's right.
There's no time and space. There is no time on the other side.
No linear time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and the way I sort of explain it is like, it's like if you can imagine the eternal now being everything. That's what I call the timeless or the eternal now, whatever you want to call it. And linear time is like a train running over the horizon of the eternal now, right? It's just this overlay that our minds do in order to compress the infiniteness into something that our brains can process, right? Because our brains can't handle it all, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in essence, the earth frequency is in the eternal now. That's why it feels so good to be in nature, right? All your problems tend to drop away. They seem less important. They're not as, right? Because what's happening? You're being pulled into the present moment of the of linear time, which is the gateway to the eternal now. At least that's from my perspective. Like you have to be in the present moment linear time to access the eternal now, or it doesn't happen. Right, so in any case, so when you're in the earth frequency, so if you, for me, I can amplify that in somebody. And the, like I said, the earth frequency, it can be set, it holds multiple consciousness levels. And if you're with somebody who can help you do this, basically, what we're doing as we move up in consciousness level is what I do with people is I attune them to the space time resonance of the earth in the new consciousness level. Like, why would you attune to the earth in the level that you, I mean, you can if you want to, but it's, if you want to propel upwards, that's something that you can do to really give you more momentum. So, so the earth frequency will bring you solid right into the present moment of linear time, which is really important. It often makes you more present in your body, which is important for the coordinate of space. You need the coordinate of space and time in order to create your reality. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so important, because that is like where you start to change things in the rendering that you were talking about, right? That's where you can start to have healing. That's where you can start to release distortion patterns. That's where everything can start to change, but you need to be present, what I call the zero point of time, which is a linear present moment in linear time, and the zero point of space. That's the earth frequency, man. It'll like bring you right back into that. Right. And that frequency is so strong, so pure, so complete. It is abundant, right? It also has form. Right? That's easier for us as humans because we are embodied. So you have this tremendous frequency, which is really powerful, that we can entrain to, which allows us to clear a lot of stuff more quickly, which is why people feel better when they come out of being somewhere in nature for a while.
Yeah. Earth is, she's already really a high frequency. She's just doing us a favor by letting us live on her. she's letting a bunch of puppies kind of run around and, you know, in a little, you know, for their own growth. But she's a very, very high frequency, and she is able to exist at multiple layers all the way up to infinity already. But from the point of this moment in the cosmos, she's allowing us to have our individual and our collective growth process as we evolve and expand as well. From this vantage point of her consciousness, but she's already multidimensional, multiversal. Yeah. She's already the sphere of everything and connected to source. So
Exactly. She's the one who gives us blueprint for embodiment. She's really important.
Yeah, she's really important, you guys. You're so lucky. So don't trash her. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. You know, the thing, you know, I find that life lessons typically are the things that most people need to address, work on, and clear up and learn from. And that typically will raise their frequency. So like, what are the common things that you work with your clients, or when people come to learn from you how to raise their own personal frequency, what are the common things that come up that, that holds down their frequency?
Well, it really depends on the person, obviously. So I do a number of things that are group and also individual, but a lot of things that come up, well, first of all, we have a number of what I call foundational distortion patterns, which are distortion patterns that run through us as a collective because we're human. So one of those things would be the fear of loss. Okay, so a lot of us, because we are afraid of losing something, we don't take opportunities or move forward, or we stay in things too long, okay, because we have this fear of loss, because we believe that we're finite and that we can lose something, okay? So that's one thing that a lot of people have challenge with. Another thing that people have challenge with is something that I call absolute scarcity, okay, which is because you feel like you're not complete internally, you always need to chase something external to you to feel complete. So that reinforces that you are incomplete. You'll always be in scarcity. You'll never feel your own infinite nature as indestructible consciousness. So that's another one. Another one is called spirit, that I call spirit debt, okay, which is where you as a person have this disproportionate sense of having like of exchange. So meaning like you have to give up a lot of something, okay, be it like your time or emotional or psychological well-being or your life force in order to get a small amount of something else, like money or security or something, okay? And if you look at your life, this happens with a lot of people, right? So spirit debt is just there. So there's that stuff running through, and then you have other distortion patterns, which are really common, right? So low self-worth, non-deserving is a huge one. This is a massive, massive challenge that a lot of humans have.
And where does that come from? And for a lot of people that I've come across with my clients, it comes from their mommy daddy issues or from their childhood upbringings and lack of scarcity, all that kind of stuff. But let's say they come from a decent family that have, and they had for the most part, a comfortable childhood, and yet they still have that scarcity pattern, that fear of not being able to support themselves, or not being good enough to take care of themselves or to be loved. Where does that come from? Is that just because we cut off ourselves off from source to be in the physical? Is that
in part, a lot of it's religious distortion, actually, where it's like you'll never be worthy of the divine, right? So you need an intermediary. You're never worthy on your own because you're too imperfect. And so that is very pervasive, even if you're not religious yourself. I mean, I wasn't raised particularly any religion, but that is still running. It is there in the distortion of just, if you're an old soul, that is a distortion pattern that happens a lot, because as you came through that separation from like this, it's not true separation, it's perceived separation, right? From the oneness, then we feel like we're not worthy of the thing that we are intrinsically part of, like we have to do something special in order to deserve that. It's a distortion pattern from there. There's a lot of like power abuse stuff that happens in order to oppress, right? So if you keep people feeling unworthy, then it's easier to control them, quite frankly. That's in the mix too. So it's like a whole bunch of different stuff like that. It really depends on the individual, but it's definitely... that is very present, even if like they grew up like in a really comfortable surroundings, and it looks like, why would they have this problem? It's because the distortion patterns are happening. Even if, for example, like 10 generations ago, their ancestor experienced it very severely, it will pass down through the line. That's why you have to release it on the distortion pattern level. A lot of our lineage, of our patterns come from our lineage. Almost like 80% of them come from lineage. So you have to clear that up. Yeah.
You know, in the early conversations with like police brutality and the Black community, is that, I mean, because you'll get African Americans, for example, that come from affluent families that have good education, have good, you know, comfortable existence, and yet still there is a little bit of that, what you're saying, distortion pattern that's unconsciously still there. Is it, how does a culture address ancestral wounds of like slavery, for example, so that it doesn't continue to be a stigma, unconscious stigma that's held in your own psyche that you're never going to be enough, good enough, because you're from a slave lineage and there's always going to be that constant, you're descendant of a slave and you're a slave forever, you know, that kind of concept.
Yeah, well, you can release the distortion. Well, that's the point of frequency work. You literally can delete it out of the field. We are at the point of consciousness now. It's risen enough that there are some of us that can do that, right? Where it's, you can delete those distortion patterns out of the field. That's the foundation of frequency work, is to release those distortion patterns out of, so each individual is doing it. And it's interesting because I do have clients who are African American or African British. I don't know what they call those, African English. Like, I don't know what they call themselves. But anyway, so
these labels are going to get even more convoluted as we get further into consciousness. I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to stick in boxes.
Exactly. But it's interesting because when you go down there, I mean, it's not just in them. All right, in people with an African background. I mean, this is like, it happens, it's happened all over the world. So this is a very common, like slavery is not something that is, I'm not saying it's only a phenomenon that happens in the African population. It is there, and it is possible to overcome it. There is a lot of oppression though. It's harder for them because they have it running through their lineage. So it takes more work for them, but they can do it. And it's really awesome to transcend it. And then of course we all need to clear it from ourselves because we all run it. So it's important for all of us in order to release these things, to move into these higher level frequencies where this won't happen because it doesn't exist at that higher level order. Like it cannot at that higher level frequency resonance.
What's your tips? Do you have any tips on how people can start applying those frequency, breaking up those frequency patterns, the ancestral trauma?
Yeah. So the way that the best way that I know of how to do that is to, people usually can't do it on their own because they have too many distortion patterns to be able to self-propel. You need somebody often, from what I've observed, who is clearer than you to help you release, who is of a high enough resonance that can help you release those. So I'm sure there are other ways, but the way that I know of that's the most effective to do that is through frequency work. And so there's a lot of, for example, on my website, I give a podcast every week, and at the end of every podcast, I give the work for free. Right. So there's a lot of stuff there where it will sound and seem a lot like a guided meditation, which it is. And there's frequency work being done so that you are releasing those distortion patterns. That's the most effective, efficient way to do it that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are other ways, but that's very specific. It's like you're going to delete that specific distortion pattern out of the field. Now, of course, we have layers, right? So it's like, it's like layers to an onion. And as you release more of them, you become clearer and faster. Your frequency resonance buoys up. You can clear faster and more. So that's the really exciting thing about frequency work. And you don't have to really even think about it or plan it. It just kind of happens, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let me relate this to Buddhism for people who are like, okay, I'm getting lost, Vaughn. Can you explain that in terms of Buddhism? Chant, meditation scripts, those have been going around in Buddhism all the way to Vedic Hinduism for over 7,000 years, 2,500 years in Buddhism. They modernly call them NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Okay, and they have been proven in science when they, for instance, measured the frequency of the Om Mani Padme Hum chant in Buddhism. Those frequencies of each one of those words of 432, you know, hertz frequency and other frequencies that help reestablish harmony and balance and bliss in somebody's energy field. So these are, all these scripts basically help you rewire your consciousness to let go of certain patterns, their permission slips to accept and raise your frequency into higher levels. And, what they are NLP. So much of it is doing the same exact thing to your personal frequency. So chants, mantras, mudras, meditation scripts, hypnosis scripts, they've been going around in Buddhism for all the way back to the Vedas. And we have thousands of them. And there's brand new ones with teachers like Karen that come up as well for the modern day a student of frequencies. So I just wanted to relate that to people because they're like, oh, this is new terms and new things. I'm like, no. Don't get lost in the new terms and in the it's the same stuff, you guys. We're just offering you different tools, but it's the same exact stuff. So you've been doing it. You just don't know it. But now you got new clothes to choose from. So I just wanted to clarify that because I was like, I could just see some people going, oh my God, what do I do? This is getting really confusing. This is another thing. I'm like, no. It's just NLP. Keep it simple.
And I would say that like what's happening now as consciousness has risen is that we can get really specific, right? Mm-hmm. So With frequent, like you can, it is possible to delete these specifically out of the field now. So what I would say is it's a little, so there are all these wonderful tools out there that do different things. They're all at different levels of effectiveness. It all resonates differently for different people. So I would suggest just do what you feel most drawn to, right? So that's another way to do it. And like a lot of frequency work happens in meditation, which is a very standard process mm-hmm. in Buddhism. Mm-hmm. So if you can combine meditation and frequency work together, it's a really powerful combination. So yeah. That is why a lot of the work that I give will look like a guided meditation. So it's yeah. simple.
Yeah, you guys, they when you start doing so many of these different ones, they all start feeling, they have a pattern. So, and you recognize them. So when you recognize them, it's just another song. It's another love song. That's all it is, just another love song for yourself. So, I love love songs. And, and Karen offers a lot of popular online courses. Let me ask you something really quick. So if, let's say somebody takes your online course on, deleting these codes that from these ancestral traumas that people unconsciously carry on. And you're right, other people, even if they're not from that culture, do you carry on that patterning? Like they'll have a certain reaction to, like, say, like a Black person that walks by them if they have from their culture, they might have a different program for how to respond to that, So different avatars and storyline groups have their own ancestral programs running. So let's say somebody takes one of your courses, does one of these, deletes it, accepts it, etc. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, Karen, I did this course, I did the work, and my family history has changed?
Oh, all the time.
Like literally, like my family history has changed. Like this specific event happened this way, and now it's happened in a completely different way. And everybody, except for maybe one or two people in the family, don't remember how it used to happen. Like I remember it. You've had that? Okay.
Yeah, that happens all the time. People will say, my mother, like literally before I had did my session or took coherence mastery or did whatever, was like this. And I had a conversation with her. It's like a different human. I don't even recognize this person. Like, I don't even know who they are. It's amazing because I now get to re-examine who they are and get to know them in a different way. That happens all the time.
Parallel people, parallel people, parallel people. So
yeah,
is that,
it's awesome.
It's parallel people. It's really awesome. And so you're going to have, so let me ask you this next level conversation about this frequency work. So somebody deletes certain codes that doesn't work for them in their frequency. They change somehow through their experiential reality, their reality has physically changed, which in pop culture terms, they call them Mandela effects, but then it's not just commercial logos, it happens in their personal life. And they have their own reality changes. How does one adapt to the new frequency and the new reality in which they've just living?
Because
it can be startling to come across like, a different version of your mom or something.
Well, everyone that I've experienced enjoys it. It's usually an upgrade.
They're like, upgraded.
Usually it's an upgraded experience because, again, your frequency resonance has gone up. So there may be a period, depending on who you are, of integration or detox where because you've released the distortion pattern from within you, it's coming away from you. So it's going from bound to unbound, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's now moving in form away from you. So sometimes what people will do is they'll see these distortion patterns as they leave because they've never noticed that they were part of them. They just assumed that was their identity. But then they'll, for example, we'll see it flare. And it's important for people to use their free will at this point. This is what I call confirming the removal of the pattern, which is where you like use your free will to push that away from you so you render a different reality. And so people will either experience sometimes like some people experience no detox or integration, okay, at all.
Right.
Some people experience it physically, like they might get a cold or like stub their toe or something. And when they physically heal, because their bodies are wise, they'll now be reset into the new frequency resonance of the new version of themselves. Some people, it's emotional. So, for example, if they have a lot of control issues, they may notice that people who try to control them start to appear more for them, right? Like people who they don't even know try to tell them what to do. And they're like, I don't even know who you are. Or like somebody in their life who's really controlling, who they haven't heard from in a while will show up. And it's about to hold your space so that you don't allow for that to affect you. And then also if you are controlling, to notice that and when to soften into surrender. So all that stuff can happen. And that period of detox or integration lasts basically depending on you, right? Like how, what your rule sets are, how much fear the person has, their willingness to let go, all that sort of thing. And if they're confirming or removing, but it can be really fast. And some people, I mean, it's overnight. Like it doesn't take long. It's not because it's a resonance that's a, we're deleting the distortion patterns, which keep you heavy. So when you release them, it feels good. It feels buoyant. So that's typically the experience. So it's a welcome adjustment.
I always tell people, well, you know, you get to fall in love with your spouse all over again, and they get to fall in love with you. They got a whole new upgrade as well. So be happy. And then people ask, what happened to the old version? And I said, well, they're probably getting what they need. But you get to, you have graduated to the next level of frequency. So now you get a higher version of reality and a higher version of those that you love.
Exactly.
So it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of the present moment. I love it. Exactly. I love that. You know, so I had another question about that, but this gets into Mandela effects, which I could totally do a whole nother episode on just Mandela effects, but I won't go into that. But as people go into these higher frequencies of being with source, sometimes it takes a level of trust in source to run its course. So, and that can be kind of hard to trust source in how it's orchestrating the playing parts, because you might not agree with the way things are rolling, but then later on you look back like, oh, I see how it all fit in. But while you're living in the freak show, is what I call it, while we're living in the freak show of, you know, the 3D people and the 5D people and the infinite people all in the same parking lot playing out their realities, how does one trust source?
So I would say, honestly, this comes always back to me to frequencies and distortion patterns. The reason you don't trust higher self and source is because you're running distortion pattern of lack of trust. Honestly, it really comes down to that. It's pretty binary. And so if you release that, and as you release more of your distortion patterns, that trust becomes very easy. Because in order to rise in frequency resonance, you have to enter greater and greater degrees of surrender. You must, in order to rise in frequency resonance. You have to give up control of the mind, of what you think you want, all that stuff, or you cap out.
How you think it's supposed to play out. Yeah.
Exactly. You can't move beyond a certain resonance if you don't do that. So what I would say is, although it is hard, the nice thing about frequency work is that the more you do it, the more easy it becomes to trust. And you don't have to think about it. It just sort of happens. Yeah. And what you recognize is that everything sort of gets taken care of for you as your frequency resonance rises, right? The right people show up, the right remedies, the right solutions, money, all that sort of stuff shows up for you as you clear your distortion patterns. That's the great thing about frequency work. It's like direct, meaning that the effect of it is linear. Like I have my toe is stubbed and need it to be healed. So it either resolves the pain, or it's nonlinear in that the right person, the modality, the whatever to address the thing shows up in perfect time to help you resolve the toe, right? So it's both direct and indirect. So what I would say about trust is if you can release the distortion pattern and your frequency resonance rises, honestly, you don't have to think about it. It just happens. Yeah. And it sounds like too easy. It is that easy, actually. It's really, delete the distortion patterns on frequency level, physical reality mirrors it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Like I always tell people, and we tell people in Buddhism all the time also, is just at the very end, don't forget the basics. You are energy. That is what you are. You are just energy thinking into form, yourself and reality. And when you go back to the basics, all of these storylines, these avatars, these things that we're getting ourselves caught up with in the wheel really of matter. Dharma, they don't really matter. Okay, we're just going for the ride. We're getting so caught up in the different turns of the roller coaster that we're like not really enjoying the roller coaster, you know?
Exactly. So
and all of these different things have their own song, they have their own frequency, they have, and each frequency has their own song. And so they're just different love songs playing. So pick the love song that you want to listen to and tune into. So, yeah. You know, Carrie, what's your last message for people who are very high frequency, for people who want to get to those high frequencies with Source? What do you want to leave them so that they can build that fifth dimensional and above frequency here in the physical?
Yeah. So what I would say is it's important to stay present in your physical body and to be really mindful of where you are in time and space. So being really, really present is really important for you in order to embody and be able to sustain the higher level of frequencies that you get to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that's a really important thing. That's very empowering. That's important. And that as we, as you say, buoy up in consciousness resonance, mm-hmm. that even if it looks like you're not doing that much to, like on the physical to help, that what you are doing is really important. Because it has this massive ripple effect out into the oneness. So I would say that is important too. So continue to do the inner work, right? It's all an illusion. So it's if you the more inner work you do, the more your frequency resonance can buoy up, the more people can entrain to you, the more consciousness rises, it creates what I call synergetic ascension, the whole wins, right? You, others, the oneness, everything is buoying up in the new paradigm. So that is what I would say to people.
I love that. Well, Karen, thank you for offering so many resources to address and learn from our 3D issues and start the journey to anchor in the higher 5D frequencies and above in our multidimensional selves. So, and in the multiverse. So like every one of my guests, I keep saying your awakening and ascension is not out there. It's always been within you. So from within your consciousness, you all dream the world into solid form. So for more information about Karen Chong's offerings, please visit her website, which is sphericalluminosity.com. And thank you kindly to our listeners for listening to another enlightening conversation. Until next time, blessings.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Merkaba Chakras, where we talk Buddhism in the fifth dimension. For more information about today's guest, please go to the show description. For more information about Vaughn's metaphysical work, please go to merkabachakras.com. The views expressed today are for entertainment purposes and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host or replace any medical or legal advice. Don't forget to subscribe for more interviews about the fifth dimension. Until we meet again, blessings.